landed sometime on some day of the week. Yeah. And we like to bring you each and every week Sports Talk Live. We appreciate Johnny and Jason. Johnny. Giving us a little bit of their time each and every week. So let's talk some football, guys.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Jason.
Jay. Thanks, Johnny.
Jay.
We're going to start wearing name tags.
You're the Johnny because he called my name. He's Jay, so you got to have a Jay. So you just be Johnny.
Yeah. What was it a couple weeks ago that I got everything wrong when I was on the kickoff and I said it's tip off or something? So me and Jay must be, sharing the same.
This is the season of the really good footballs, Ronnie.
That's exactly.
How about the skin of the footballs?
That's exactly right. So, Jason, how are you? How was your weekend, man?
It was good. It was good. Didn't do a whole lot, but
yeah,
got an Auburn win.
That's right. And for entertainment purposes only, it was a nice weekend.
Yeah, that was a big field goal for a lot of people, including myself, at the end of it. But if I would have been playing, I wouldn't have been playing for much. But
yeah, well, it's easy to play when it's for entertainment only.
Right.
You know, entertainment purposes only. It's not real, so it's kind of like playing with Monopoly money. You know?
I was able, for entertainment purposes only, to take Texas A&M plus 27.5.
Yeah,
And that
you did
that
well.
That paid off.
I was never real comfortable with that margin anyway, and after that game, you know.
Yeah, you get it. Somebody in the SEC, you get up four touchdowns points, and that's like Arkansas. I mean, Auburn was 28-point favorite.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't care who you're playing in the SEC, that's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points.
And you know, that Arkansas game, I did not start out feeling all that good, but about halfway through it, I was feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, I've done about the opposite, Jay. I started out feeling pretty good, and by the end of the game, I wasn't feeling too good.
Yeah, But, you know, I wouldn't say either one was, and you hate to say not impressive, because everybody just looks at the score, you know. And like Saban in his press conference there with, you know, Alabama, Texas A&M, you know, he was sarcastically, of course, telling the sports writers, hey, you know, y'all write something negative about, you know, our team so I can, you know, share that with our players and, you know, hopefully motivate them to perform, you know, at a better level, or the word he uses a lot is a standard. And yeah, they won. They put up a lot of points, but there's question marks there.
Ronnie. Now there's a lot of Alabama fans, and I'm saying a good many. I'm not going to say a lot. A good many have already crowned this team the best ever. Not only the best ever Alabama team, but the best team to ever play college football.
They've done this
after three games and hadn't even played anybody ranked.
Ronnie, I've actually got I've got him saying that because it amused me so much it made it to my Facebook page.
Yeah.
So if you miss it here, you can just look me up on Facebook.
One thing I'd like to say to everybody, and I don't want to get into the rat poison again, but you know, we got a good team, but our team needs to do a lot of things to improve. All right, and if what our team has accomplished to this point makes them in any way not take into account the kind of teams that we have to play in the future, and they underestimate what we need to do to improve so that we can become a better team, and don't just take things for granted, that we're going to show up because we got an Alabama uniform on and win the game. It's not going to happen that way. And it's going to be everybody's choice in the organization.
It's not, Nick.
I'd appreciate it if you would, you know, sort of look at some of the things we didn't do so well, and write about that, so maybe I can show it to the players and say, look here, man, here's something you can do better. All right, see
even
you later.
The whole press corps laughs. But
that was pretty good there, you know. Of course, it was filled with sarcasm, you know, as we all know, but
I've never noticed Saban saying "all right" so much.
I have
noticed him talking with his hands when he does the commercials.
Yeah,
and if those hands stop, he don't know what to do.
But he's when they did the training days, you know, down there. I mean, I noticed it then when he was talking, and you know, it was a sentence, and it would begin with "I," and the next sentence "I." You know, I mean, it's just a habit. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even know he's doing it, but. I don't think he left that game, you know, overly thrilled with their performance. Yeah, they won, scored a lot of points, gave up a lot of points. I don't know how you would classify Texas A&M, right now, I would say mediocre at best. I don't know what you would say about anybody in college football right now. But, Jason, back to your point that you were talking about there, you know, some folks, a few folks, whatever, already crowning this particular Alabama team after how many games? What are we in, three or four games?
I think, yeah, four.
After four games in, crowning them as the best football team of all time?
All time.
I mean, now, would there be an argument that this might in all caps, be the best offensive team Alabama's ever had? I can certainly go with that. But by what standard are you judging them if you are crowning them already the best college football team of all time?
If only I had a time machine and I could go back. Jason, close your ears for a second. And I could go back to the Iron Bowl last year and put Tua in.
Yeah.
Just wonder what would have happened.
That's true. You know,
I don't want to know what would have happened because I was happy with the result.
I'll tell you what would have happened. Alabama would have beat Auburn.
Oh.
And here's another thing. If the national championship game hadn't have went so south for Alabama, I think Tua would still be sitting the bench at Alabama. And Hurts would still be your quarterback.
Or he would be somewhere else playing.
Right.
I saw a behind the scenes. I think it aired right before the football game Saturday. Did y'all watch that?
I did. It was good.
That was very enlightening.
Yes, very enlightening.
Let me ask you this, Ronnie. I've heard this question by another source, but it is a great question. But just to show you how a couple of points can make a difference in the way everybody looks at everything.
Sure.
Let's say Auburn holds on and beats LSU.
Yeah.
And then turns around and beats Arkansas the way they did Saturday.
Yeah.
What is everybody saying about Auburn right now?
Well, they're saying it's
they're
gonna
in
come,
the running.
You know, it's going to come down to the final game of the season to see who and it may. Who knows how it's going to play out? It may still come down to Alabama.
I'm going to shed some light on some Auburn things in a little bit.
But I'm sorry for interrupting. But I'm not saying it still can't come down to the Alabama-Auburn game to determine who's going out of the West. Now, certainly LSU beating Auburn threw a huge, you know, wrench in that plan.
It happened last year, though.
It did. It happened last year as well. But you are right. If Auburn had beaten LSU, which they should have, you're up 20. I know that's old news. You're up 21-10, I think, going into the fourth, and you lose at home.
And you know, I thought about it for myself, and I'm thinking, I'm just visualizing it, and even myself, I know for a fact I would view Auburn in a totally different light had that not happened.
Yeah, I think Auburn already has been exposed as to what some glaring weaknesses are, and for Auburn, those glaring weaknesses. Turns out to be their ability so far to effectively run the football, and you know
the name of Kerryon Johnson.
That's right, and you know better than probably most people because you are and you followed it for years and years, especially you know, since Gus has been there. They essentially have to run the football effectively for Gus's offense to work.
I tell you this, and this is embarrassing for me to say, but it tells you the state of the Auburn backfield. I don't
can you
know.
Name, can
no,
you name
I
one?
Don't, that's what I was going to say. I can't even name their backs.
I don't have a clue.
Auburn always has a stud running back that you can hand the ball off to and get a few yards.
Absolutely.
Not that way this year. I mean, I know who one of them is just because he was supposed to be the starter and he may have carried the ball 10 times this year. But I don't know. Fourth and one against Arkansas. Same outcome as fourth and one against LSU.
A lot of work to be done.
Oh, yeah.
But, let's just take the nation as a whole. These guys, that we watch on TV, they're just beating the drum of who was hot the week before.
Yeah.
It may be Alabama. It might have been Alabama the first week, second week, and all you hear is how great they are, how fantastic the offense is, what Saban's been able to do, and a lot of that stuff is true. And then, you have someone like Ohio State who's also beating people's brains out, and, they're the talk of the town. It's just whoever's hot, whoever plays well that week. Here's a prime example of that, Jason. All I had heard, or that you heard a lot about recently was Mississippi State. Mississippi State this, Mississippi State that. You know, they're a contender. You know, they can be there when it's all said and done. And why, you know, they were ranked in the top 15, and they go to Kentucky, and Kentucky just bends them over their knee and spanks their rear end like you would a child.
It wasn't an accident.
It was not an accident. And so what have you heard about, you know, the how good Mississippi State is? Hadn't heard that again lately. It's just whoever's hot this particular week. So, you know.
I want to give you a non-blower. It was to me. It may not surprise you like it did me. But, like I said, Auburn known to run the football. Where would you say Auburn ranks in the nation right now in running the football and rushing yards? And then I want you to tell me where you think they would rank passing the ball. And this is out of 129 teams.
Okay. Where they rank.
Let's go rushing.
Rushing yards per game average. Gosh, Jason, I'm going to say they've been bad. I'm going to say they're at least 100.
That's what I guess them at 80, okay. 85. Auburn is 47th in the nation in rushing.
47th. What does that say about the rest of the nation?
Auburn is only averaging 4.48 yards per carry. All right, Alabama, where would you rank them rushing?
Well, if Auburn was what now,
47? 47. This according to the NCAA stats.
Right. In my mind, I would think they would be higher than Auburn. So I'm just going to say 40th.
42.
Okay.
42. Alabama averaged 5.18. They had 819 yards rushing compared to Auburn has 797. Okay. So not a lot of difference.
Does it have per game, what they're averaging per game?
Yeah, that's okay. Auburn... yards per game, Auburn 199.3, Alabama 204.8.
Yeah, very close.
Leader in the nation, Navy,
355.8. Well, that's not surprising because they might throw it five times a game.
UAB is number 8.
Really?
Kentucky, number 11.
Wow.
Now I want to blow your mind, finish this with what would you say Auburn would come in. I'm going to have to pull this up. This is not cooperating. Where do you think Auburn and Alabama both come in passing offense?
Passing offense. I think Tua is the top-rated quarterback by quarterback rating, but he's not going to be the top in passing yards because he doesn't get to play about two quarters a game. So with that thought in mind, I'm going to say Alabama probably ranks about 18th.
13th.
Okay.
He has passed for 1,000. Well, Alabama has passed for 1,339 yards, 334.8 yards per game.
And who's leading the nation?
Nation leader is Texas Tech.
I can believe
435.
That.
Washington State, West Virginia, North Carolina State, Boise State, Ohio State is the top six.
Yeah.
Hawaii comes in at 9. Ole Miss at 10.
I can say that. But
Missouri at 11.
Now, if Alabama had been playing some teams that would have forced them to keep Tua in the football game, that 13, if that's the number you gave, would have been much higher.
Or it could have been lower if they'd been playing teams that played him that close. He may not have been throwing that many completions.
Possibly. Just from what I've seen out of the kid, I don't know. I know it will somewhere down the road, but so far, I haven't seen anybody that made any difference who they were playing in his ability to throw the football.
Yeah, because Alabama, so far, Texas A&M, the only even decent defense they've played.
Well, I'm going back to the second half of the Georgia.
Yeah.
I mean, even some of the throws he made the other day, Jason, they were throws that you would say, why were you throwing that? It was like, you know, it was like the area that for the football to go through was about the, you know, size of a lid of a Coke can, and the ball is just right there. I'm not.
But you know, at some point,
he's going.
Somebody's going to be.
Well, sure they are. There's no question. I mean, as much as he throws it, And understandably so. I mean, yeah, sure, he's going to make some turnovers.
Where do you put Auburn, Ronnie? Out of 129 teams, now keep in mind, Jared Stidham is supposed to have been one of the top quarterbacks in the nation to start the year.
I don't see that either.
Well, I'll tell you, he's not right now.
Not now. I don't see it.
And I can't find them. I knew where they were ranked, but let me find them before I give a number.
So Alabama's ranked 13th in passing yardage per.
Oh, I've got Auburn now.
In yardage per game, if Alabama's 13th, I'm going to say Auburn. And don't take this wrong. I'm going to say they're 25th.
I told you I was going to blow your mind. Try 103. Auburn 103rd out of 129 teams in passing.
And now, are you talking? Are we talking yardage per game? Or yeah. Is it a combination of
Auburn has 743 passing yards, 7.4 yards per attempt, 11 yards per completion, 3 passing touchdowns, 185 yards a game.
Let me just take a brief moment to point out, if that puts you in a deep depression like it does me, check out our new show, Life Talk Live, on Tuesdays at 4 o'clock, where we discuss mental health issues.
Wow.
I'm actually serious. We're adding a new show.
Yeah.
Let me give you this as we go to a break.
Yeah.
Coming in at 105, LSU.
Wow.
I would have never picked Auburn down there.
I wouldn't either. Never. I would have had it, in fact, probably right the opposite of what it is.
If that trend continues, it's going to be a long
time. Hey, on the bright side, though, we may have Stidham back again next year. All right, time for a break. Sports Talk Live 95.5. If you're getting tired of hearing us talk, give us a call, 256-737-9505. Tell Ronnie and myself why Alabama is the greatest team ever.
I'd love for somebody to tell me.
We'll be right back.
Convince me of that.
I feel like, y'all been seeing too many memes on Facebook. I see the guy sitting on the park bench going, convince me.
Yeah, I agree. Convince me.
Hey, guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
This is Dylan Deemer, the voice of Friday Night Live, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday night for my new show, Prep Sports Live. Each Tuesday, tune in for a wrap-up of all last week's action, a preview of the upcoming week, as well as a breakdown of the latest sports news from around Coleman County, as well as interviews. And tune in to hear the announcement of our Game of the Week. Join us every Tuesday from 5 to 6 on Coleman's Live 95. We are Coleman's independent radio. Right here and now.
It means everything. Gateway Mortgage is proud to support Coleman County High School football. After all, supporting your community and giving back is what it's all about. Gateway Mortgage is a big lender with the ability to service your loan, but they're all about community and personal service. Josh Phillips, branch manager, says because of their Christian values, you can expect a culture that's different from banks and even other lenders. Those are the kind of characteristics you want from a personal mortgage team working to get you into a new home or your next home. You can reach Josh Phillips, Cameron Kimbrough, or Zeb Smith at Gateway Mortgage, 256-690-5617. 256-690-5617. Gateway Mortgage. In MLS number 338177. Equal housing lender.
Everybody dance now. think this is what Nick Saban does his dance routine to the Alabama team in the locker room at halftime, maybe?
Or maybe they need to start.
There was a video of Saban dancing one time.
I don't think Nick's got anything to worry about.
No, the next, which we'll talk more about schedules, you know, here after a while, but the next 3 or 4 weeks should be, knock on wood, they should be pretty much sleepers, you know.
Can I go on a quiet, dear Alabama fan rant?
Yeah, well, absolutely.
And I think I'm not saying I speak for all Auburn fans, but I think I would speak for a majority of Auburn fans when I say this. Alabama fans wonder a lot of times why Auburn fans are so against Alabama. And they don't see the times Alabama fans put the Oregon Duck shirts on or the Oregon on their Facebook.
Thought I'd give you
Facebook.
Some nude music there. Yeah.
But it's not with me. It is not the Alabama football team. I respect the Alabama football team. Yeah. What they've been able to accomplish is second to none. They are the best in college football and will probably continue to be the best. Whoever comes in to replace Saban, they're still going to be good. It is a small minority of fans that seem to worry more about taking digs at Auburn than they do their own team. An example. After Auburn loses to LSU, Alabama has a blowout win. Instead of enjoying that win, somebody I haven't heard from, not going to call the name, tags me in a post that says, "Hey, Auburn fans, have you got any more jokes about last-second field goals?" And so I purposefully didn't comment on that for a week. And then I unloaded my sale. Most Alabama fans not that way, but there is a small group that loves to rub salt.
Yeah.
And that is why Auburn fans can't stand to see Alabama win, because they know that group of fans. They're the kind of fans that you see flying flags on every window. They've got the stickers all over their car.
Yeah.
And let Alabama lose one game, the flags go down, put up in the closet. And then the next time Alabama's good, they'll wash the mothball smell off of them and put them back out.
Well, you know, I'm not going to say that I disagree with you, you know, along with those comments.
Don't take me wrong. It's not you or Nick Edwards at work. It's my niece's husband, great Alabama fan.
Yeah.
And most Alabama fans are that way. But there's...
As there are with most...
But with Alabama, there's just more of them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, everybody, you know, everybody gets on the bandwagon of, you know, you might have never been an Alabama fan until Nick Saban came in 2007. Now, all of a sudden, you've been an Alabama fan since you were, you know, able to stand, you know. But as you described there, every school, every team, you know, has that.
And, you know, most of the time, in all honesty, it's the people that know the least about the
game. Absolutely. Those are the people that scream and holler at the games the most, you know. Or when you said that, you make me – I just revert back to high school, you know, to high school games, and you're in a gym, you know, because you can hear what everybody says then. And it's always the people who are screaming the loudest and carrying on the most and hollering at the refs the most know absolutely the least. I mean, I used to get tickled that they would yell at things that there weren't even a rule or – the rule changed 5 years prior, and they still don't know, you know, that the rule has changed.
There was one woman, and I don't care to tell the school it was Vimont. Everybody knows my kids went to Vimont. But she was associated with the Pee Wee Basketball Association about the same time my kids were going through. I'm not going to say which kid.
Yeah, yeah.
But she spent her whole time screaming at the top of her lungs at the officials. Just like you said, had no clue what she was talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And so... 2 years, you know, I served the vice president of the association of prison sentence.
And which so is what it is.
She had started getting pretty ugly with the referees, and I'd been talked to by the referees to try to calm her down, so I went over and tried to talk to her. Well, then she got smart with me. And so I told her, I said, "Listen, if you don't sit down and quieten down some, calm down, we're going to have you escorted from the gym. And I was threatened with a lawsuit. and the Pee Wee Basketball Association was threatened with a lawsuit.
Oh, no, you're gonna lose your position as the vice president.
Please,
you
pick me up.
I'm gonna say, you would pay her attorney fee.
Oh, yeah. And I would bet 10 to 1 you know who I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure I know who you're talking about there. But, you know, every team, whether it's high school, college, you know, you have some of those, and that, you know, that's just, you know, that's just kind of the way it is. But, you know, Jason, like we were talking earlier, you know, it's just whoever's hot this week, that's who gets all the glory. And, you know, the next week, if a team doesn't play well, then, you know, people jump off of that bandwagon, they find another one, you know, to get back on. So, hey, I do want to mention this. I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, Jason and I made a little friendly wager for lunch because, you know, we don't have to have many excuses to, you know, to go out and eat.
Mm-hmm.
So the wager I made was, I said at the end of the season, Auburn's defense would be ranked higher than Alabama's defense is on a national basis after the entire season's over. Well, at this point in time, Auburn's defense, Jason, you want to take a guess where they rank out of all the teams in the nation?
14.
Well, you are terribly wrong.
What?
They rank 42nd in 42nd in total defense. Okay. Now, where do you think Alabama ranks?
They must be behind them. I think you'd be winning this bet, or you wouldn't have brought it
up. That's right.
So I would say 48.
Well, you are close. Alabama is 47.
I can't believe those two are back that far.
They are back that far. They most certainly are. Auburn, now, point-wise, they're not. You know, points given. And that's, you know, bottom line. That's the bottom line anyway.
Oh, yeah.
How many points you're giving up. Auburn is averaging giving up 12.5 a game. Alabama's averaging giving up 12.8. But when you factor all things in, whether it's, you know, rushing yards and passing yards and those things, Auburn ranks 42nd and Alabama ranks 47th, which leads me into this point. Number one, at this point in time, I am winning the lunch bet through, you know, a quarter of the season. But more importantly, it leads me to the point of what Jason talked about earlier was people crowning King Alabama is the best football team ever to play college football. Well, I don't know how you justify that and how you say that when I'm an Alabama fan, but that we rank 47th in total defense. So,
yeah,
you know.
And Alabama's had some,
several times
had some defensive. If they weren't number one, they were in the top five.
Oh, no question. So, we'll see how it plays out as the season goes on, but right now, just by that stat alone, to me, that just blows it out. Alabama fan, though,
and you argue this, but we don't need that good a defense this year because of our offense is so much better.
Yeah,
that makes us so much better than any other team that's ever played.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's the way Saban goes into it every year. I mean, this year he was thinking, hey, we're going to be so much better offense, so we don't have to put as much. But you're right.
You know,
that's the argument. That's going to be the argument,
which is
absurd.
Right. You and I have talked in private, and I have bragged on Tua. He is a great player.
I think he's a real deal.
But even with him, it's still too early
Absolutely.
To call him the greatest quarterback to ever play college
football.
They've been some pretty good quarterbacks come through college.
There most certainly has. Now, has he, to this point, has he backed up the hype that, you know, was talked about him even back in when he was going through that Elite 11, you know, that Trent Dilfer does with the best quarterbacks in the nation? Trent Dilfer said he's the best one he's ever seen that's ever come through that Elite 11. And we're talking about guys who, you know, the Peyton Mannings and people like that he said he is the best one that has ever come through there. You know, to this point, is he living up to that from what he's getting to play a game? I think he is. But he's played 5 games. Let's talk about a career.
That's right. That's right.
Because 5 games is not a career.
And let me say, I told you this earlier, but let me repeat this so everybody else. Tua, and I know a lot of people will give him slack for the crosses under his eyes and the kind of life that he portrays. But my brother goes to church with a team doctor that travels with Alabama. He's at every game, knows the players, have been there for years. And according to him, Tua is, he said, the most polite, respectful kid that he has dealt with at the University of Alabama. Said he sees a lot of times kids come in claiming to be one thing on the news, and then when the spotlight's away from them, they're totally different.
Yeah.
But they're, according to him,
kids away from home,
right, is the real deal. He reminds me of a Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Gunway, if there was something hidden in Tebow's closet, it would have been drug out by
many
now.
Years ago. Meaning you're
and
exactly
the worst
right.
thing they can come up with him on is he wouldn't have sex with his girlfriend before they got married.
Right. And he gets criticized. In his playing days, he got criticized for taking a knee.
Yeah.
And now we take a knee for
things
something
have changed a little
absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely. Things are not like they used to be. But back to my point, originally, I am winning the lunch bet at this time.
Let me throw another one at you to blow your mind while we're talking about defense. Where would you say Auburn ranks? Now, I don't know how much you've watched Auburn this year, but it seems to me that they can never get off the field on third down.
That's right.
LSU converted third down third down after third down. Where do you think Auburn ranks in the nation on third down?
Proficiency.
Yeah.
Well, since you brought it up, I think it's probably going to be higher than what I think.
It's going to be way higher than what you think. It's way higher than what I thought.
Of them getting off the field on third down.
Yeah.
I would have probably said about 50 because where they ranked.
I said total. 80.
Okay. Are they in top 10?
Close.
Okay.
They are number 11.
Wow.
Alabama number 8. Auburn.
Getting off the field on third down.
Yeah, and this don't even sound anywhere close to the way it is. But there has been 18 third down conversions out of 66 attempts. It seemed like to me LSU had 19. Alabama has had 15 conversions out of 61 attempts.
Right. Wow.
The number one team in the land, Miami Hurricanes.
Good grief.
They've had 10 conversions out of 57 attempts.
Wow. You know, you just don't. I mean, stats don't lie. But stats can be deceiving.
Right. They don't always tell the true story.
They don't always tell the true story, you know.
You know a team, Ronnie, that when you look at your stats, will be consistently at the top? Buffalo.
That's
team
Chris,
that Chris mentioned.
That Chris
that
mentioned.
We got a good chuckle out of.
I know. I howled.
Oh, by the way.
I think they won. Didn't they not win last week?
Yeah.
I thought
they're
they
undefeated
did.
Right now.
They're undefeated.
And have covered the point spread every week.
Oh, not the Buffalo Bills.
Right. Those of you who may be wondering about Chris, we should have already said this, but my mind, I'm getting old. I'm wondering about Chris Andrews, who normally joins us about 10 minutes after 4. Chris is 10 minutes after 4 if you are listening on Thursday.
On Thursday.
But we are on Tuesday right now.
Right.
But anyway, Chris has had a health problem on and off for, what, year and a half now?
Yeah.
And is back in the hospital, to my understanding, and will be out a few days. So hopefully, maybe next week, if not, surely the week after. He thinks a few days, and he'll be back at it. But say a prayer for Chris and his family. We're not even really sure what's going on there, but we do know it's something serious. And if he feels like sharing it at some point, he will. If he don't,
that's right.
Pray for him anyway.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's our buddy from Las Vegas.
Great person.
Yeah. Sets the... Not out there, it's not for entertainment purposes only, but he is the top dog in this particular hotel. Jason knows more of the lingo of that than I do, but he sets the lines for this particular establishment.
He is the man responsible for millions and millions of dollars that goes through there.
Yeah,
so.
He also has a XM radio station, 204 XM.
It'll read Vegas stats or something.
That's right, Vegas stats.
XM.
And he is a partner. He and Brent Musburger are partners in that. And
we have him on this radio station in Coleman, Alabama.
Absolutely. And who knows? He may hook us up with Brent sometime too.
And in case, in case somebody haven't heard it, we've told everybody, but tell it one more time, Ray. Who did Chris turn down to be on our show that day?
He turned down ESPN.
Thank you.
Because he had already promised us that he turned ESPN down for, Sports Talk Live
another time
in
or just
Coleman,
like
Alabama.
Do it.
Yeah. So we owe Chris a lot.
Yeah, Chris, great guy.
Absolutely. So hope things go well for him. Hey, Jason, you know, we've kind of been on Alabama and Auburn, and we're going to be back on it again before the day is over. We've got later in the show, we've got Rex Chambers, our fishing buddy. He doesn't like to be called an expert, but our fishing buddy, our fishing guide, is going to be joining us, giving us an update on the fishing, how it's going around this area, and the tournaments that he's participating in, or the tournaments that are out there that anybody.
I'm just happy we got a little bit of water, because it had rained forever, and then gully washed it yesterday.
It did. We got a great.
And I'm sure the lake came up a whole whopping tenth of an inch or something.
I'm sure it did. But it was really good for my yard, and glad we got it. And
my azaleas are doing good.
Your azaleas are doing good. Well, I've had two to die. So. So it looks like we may be getting some more rain this week.
High. What about old Florence? It went back out into the ocean, absolutely. And curling back around. Hit North Carolina in the exact same spot.
Oh, goodness. And Tyler was your son, lives in North Carolina now. And
yeah, everything good at his house.
Everything was good there. So.
No flooding, no damage. So. Yeah.
I know there was a lot of damage, tremendous amount of loss of property, and certainly there was, I think, 40-some-odd lives lost or something because of Florence.
I was right on the edge of, in a town called Matthews, right on the edge of Charlotte, and there was flooding up pretty close to him, but as far as big-time damage, you'd have to probably travel an hour and a half back toward the ocean to really get in the thick of things.
Okay.
He's about three and a half hours from the ocean, I think.
I got you. Hey, Jason, before we got a few minutes here, I think, before we take another break. Let's go over, let me mention just the high school games that was this past weekend. I know Jay has a, group that comes and talks about that, so we're not going
to
steal anything.
That's
the first one I was going to start
with. They called in sick today, so y'all take all the time you want.
Okay, I got you. Now, remember that. Now, Good Hope Raiders, just congratulations to Coach Alan Scott. They are undefeated at this time, hadn't lost a game. And
we were at that game, and let me tell you, not only was it an awesome game, but that is an awesome view from that stadium, too.
Yeah, it is. It's a very nice stadium. They've done a lot of work there around on the campus.
Are you talking about Good Hope?
Yeah.
I'll tell you when it's not a good view. It is not a good view at a fire plug football game at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning when it's 95 degrees.
Not a lot of shade.
Saturday morning.
Not a lot of shade. No. Not a lot of shade.
There was not a dry stitch only when I left.
And you love every minute of that.
I can't. Well, I was going to say, I can't wait till this Saturday to go to another one, but I'll be out of town.
So. Oh, gosh. Well.
I think the next week I'll try to go to two games.
You just go all day. How many more weeks of that stuff do you have to do?
Too many. I don't know how many it is.
Well, one more is one too many. Right. But you're right, Jason. A big, huge congratulations to Coach Alan Scott and the Good Hope Raiders. They are undefeated right now. And,
I guess the only year in the county undefeated.
Yeah, that's true. He has endured some very difficult years there at Good Hope, and I'm happy for him. He's a good, quality guy. And I'm happy that things are going well for him and that they're winning some football games. Holly Pond, they took it on the chin last week, but Holly Pond still got a good football team. I think they've lost a couple of region games to Midfield, and Fulton. They'll beat them last week, but still, I watched some of them last year on a tape at school. And I'm not a – you give me a basketball game to watch, I can work with that. Mainly with football, I watch it for the entertainment, But it was obvious they are extremely well coached. They played really hard. They're fundamentally sound, and that goes back to, Coach Bates and Coach Scott Adams who's helping them again. So even though they've lost a couple of games this year, they are still a good football team. And congratulations to Vinemont as they – they pulled out a big win there. They beat Hansville last right at the end of the game through a touchdown pass and won that football game. So congratulations, Stephen Robinson. You may remember Stephen, Jason. I don't know. He's going to be older than Brittany. So
name rings a bell, but I can't place him.
He would have played around the time Josh Hoagland and some of those were there. So Really, really good guy. I'm happy for him and, you know, some of the folks that's helping him. Cody Harris is, you know, is helping him, and we know what kind of young man Cody is. So congratulations to Vimont for their win last week. They defeated Hansville, so, you know, that kind of takes care of that of a couple of county schools there. West Point took it on the chin last week. Russellville got them pretty good. Congratulations also to Coleman as they defeated Albertville, and a week before they defeated Columbia. I won't call his name, but I have a friend of mine who they were playing Columbia, and it was their homecoming game, and he sent me a photo of the stands on the other side, and I think he counted them, and there was 35 or 36 people
there from
Columbia. So it was we kind of got a chuckle out of that, but again, congratulations last week.
Columbia loves that football.
Columbia, that's exactly right. So Coleman got a big win last week. Big congratulations to Coach Redding out at Fairview. They got in the win column as they defeated Priceville, so a good win for them. And then I believe that Cold Springs kind of took it on the chin last week.
They not only took it on the chin, they took it on the chest.
It hurt. We were all a little surprised by that shutout.
Yeah, Alice.
We covered them week before last and thought they did a really good job. So.
Right. So,
Aliceville, I think, undefeated. Pretty good program.
Years ago, and you probably won't remember this name, but he's well known in these parts, Danny Day. Danny, he
could knock a softball a mile.
I've heard that.
Played with Bunch Brothers.
I heard he was a heck of an athlete, but he coached Aliceville many, many years ago and went undefeated and won a state championship. So that's how I knew about Aliceville, just because of Danny. So again, I think he
coached at Hansville too.
He did. He coached Hansville and he coached out. I think he did some coaching out at St. Bernard. So. Never, I wasn't around here at that time, but I always heard he was a heck of an athlete. So,
Ray, that's a segment we might want to look at bringing back. If it's not nothing but 10 minutes.
Absolutely.
Every once in
somebody
a while.
From the past.
Yeah, where are they now?
Exactly.
We've done that for a while when we first started, and then just kind of let it fizzle out.
Yeah, I agree. I've got one that I've kind of lined up that I told you about a little bit earlier there, and his story is truly phenomenal. That's I'll just tell this part of it. It's Deland Trimble, who we worked together, and Deland was also a member of the 92 National Championship team in Alabama, but his dad, as people would have known him, was Stubby. His name's Stubby Trimble, and of course, that was before my time, but Stubby only had one arm.
I've heard the tales of it.
Yeah.
I didn't know him, but I've heard the tales.
Stubby was one of the Texas A&M Junction boys. He played with Gene Stallings, and they played together. So I hope to get Deland on maybe in a week or so and just kind of tell us the history, kind of his family. And, of course, he had an uncle, Wayne Trimble, that played at Alabama. So there's a long list of his family tree of really good D1 college football. So we'd like to get Deland on sometime and tell us some stories about Stubby Trimble.
What would you say the odds are of a kid playing major college football at a place like Auburn, Alabama?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about
a D2 or D3.
But a major college. Yeah. What are the odds, you think?
You're talking about a kid with all extremities
anybody.
My gosh.
Just take any kid and put them out there and the odds of them make it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, if we just looked here in Coleman County, can you name one? Can you name two? I can't think of any in the last 20 years.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody football.
Now, if you're talking, if we're talking, including Coleman High School in that, you got Wesley Britt and Justin Britt, and there may have been some others, that I know there were, but countywide, if someone knows, call and tell us. I can't think of any in the last.
That you have a better chance of winning the lottery than you do making the NFL. That's hard to believe.
It's hard to believe.
I want to say that all you have to do is get recruited to Alabama, and then your chances significantly increase.
Well, yeah, if you're good enough to go to Alabama, you're going to be on your way.
You know, and I'm not so certain back on the Alabama thing again, because we just, and I'd heard a few people talking, and we've heard it before in the past, take your worst NFL team. If Alabama played the worst NFL team, do they beat that worst NFL team?
Not even close.
I don't. I've never agreed to that. I've never, because we're talking 18, yeah. 19, 20-year-olds against.
And I don't know, you know who it was. I don't know if it was Alvin Bressler, you know, that we've talked to. Or
sure, him, yeah.
But said that you take the guy that hit you the hardest in college, the hardest you were ever yeah. hit in a game.
Yeah.
And he said, then go to the NFL yeah. and everybody hits you that way.
Yeah.
Everybody's fast. Everybody hits.
Yeah. It's violent.
Oh, yeah. He said it's daylight and dark.
Or it used to be violent.
Yeah. Now, if you quarterback.
You blow on the quarterback and it's 15-yard penalty.
I predict in the next 10 years the quarterback will have a flag in his belt. He will be flagged.
That is, you know, that's what we were talking about the other day at home. Wesley and I were sitting watching some NFL games, and you know the quarterback would get sacked, and it's almost automatic. It's mm-hmm. a penalty. Clay Matthews,
2 weeks in a row,
2 weeks in a row, has got penalized, and he's not the only one, but there's a bunch of them. But you know, I told Wesley, I said, Wesley, look, I said, where we're headed in this. Let's just start playing flag football, which is exactly right. Just play flag football.
And Jim Kelly said, you look at the stats that these quarterbacks are putting up now.
Yeah.
And it's easy to see why.
Well, sure.
Then when his day, he didn't have that protection.
No.
And now the quarterback.
Oh, it's like the.
He's the holy man on the field.
Exactly. That's the kind of the word I was leading. So it's. I mean, it's gotten, it's way, way, way out of proportion of what it should
be.
Yeah,
there's colleges, and I heard them talking about this the other day on ESPN.
Yeah.
There's colleges now that doesn't even allow their quarterback to get hit in practice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So what's going to happen when he gets in a game?
Yeah. So, but it's a strange, the NFL is, it's, you know, it makes you think, 10 years from now, is there really even going to be football? I mean, with all the things going on with the concussions and all those things, will there really be football 10 years from now?
Hey, that's a question to think about while we go on a break.
That's right.
We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
Happy Homes Real Estate is proud to sponsor Friday Night Live on Live 95. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you today. After all, they're the top producing agency in Cullman. And I bet if you ride around town this weekend, you'll see open house signs all over Cullman for Happy Homes Real Estate. For property management, buying, or selling a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you. Happy Homes Real Estate, where they believe every home should be a happy home. We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Cullman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Cullman area and most Cullman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
This is Dylan Deamer, the voice of Friday Night Live, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday night for my new show, Prep Sports Live. Each Tuesday, tune in for a wrap-up of all last week's action, a preview of the upcoming week, as well as a breakdown of the latest sports news from around Cullman County, as well as interviews. And tune in to hear the announcement of our game of the week. Join us every Tuesday from 5 to 6 on Cullman's Live 95. We are Cullman's independent radio.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Cullman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better. Whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right?
Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding, seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's Independent Radio.
On a Tuesday or a Thursday afternoon. Just depends on when you're listening.
We don't know what time zone you're in either.
Hey, Jason, let's change the subject just a little bit
for a few minutes.
I want to talk about soap operas. Young and Restless.
Hey, Lenny, there's a stink bug.
Yep.
Don't squash him.
Well, we're not going to pet him. He thumped him.
I thumped him. They do stink.
Go ahead.
Hey, Jason, you know, something we haven't talked about all year, and that's the MLB, Major League Baseball, but I think right now is the time to say, hey, congratulations to the Atlanta Braves who have clinched the NL East division of Major League Baseball. So they are on to the playoffs. I've watched them a few times because Wesley is one of the biggest Braves and Hawks fans that's in the state of Alabama, and they've got a good baseball team, good young baseball team. I think they're, you know, certainly ahead of schedule as to where they thought they would be.
How's Chipper Jones do it? That's how long it's been since I've watched the
Braves. Well, he's not yet in the nursing home, but but they honored him a few weeks ago.
No, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They honored him a few weeks ago. But hey, no joke, a big, huge congratulations to the Braves. As I said, clinched the division. Right now, they are sitting at, their record is 88-68. So, you know.
A lot of ball games.
That's a lot of ball games. They are in the division with the Nationals and the Phillies, the Mets and the Marlins. And, of course, for those people who are certainly baseball people, there's probably three or four teams in the American League that's better than anybody that's in the National League. But, again, the Braves clinched the East. And I'll just go through these divisions for people who may be interested. The National League Central, I do not know whether they have clinched yet or not, but I would assume they probably – no, they haven't either. Chicago Cubs are leading the division. They're 1.5 games ahead of the Milwaukee Brewers. Then you got the Cardinals, the Pirates, and the Reds. Out of the West, you got the Dodgers leading their division. They're 1.5 up on the Colorado Rockies. Then you got the Arizona Diamondbacks, San Francisco Giants, and then the Padres. On to the American League, which is where the best baseball is played. I can give you that just by this stat right here. Boston Red Sox, they are 9.5 games up on the Yankees in the American League East. Get this, Jason. Their record at this moment is 106 wins and 51 losses.
Who is that, huh?
That's the Boston Red Sox. They have been winning at almost a 68% clip. That is putting it on people when you're talking about Major League Baseball, you know. So, again, they are leading their division over the Yankees, and then you got the Tampa Bay Rays, the Blue Jays, and then the Baltimore Orioles. The Central, you got the Cleveland Indians, who are leading by 15.5 games in their division. I would say they've probably clinched. The Indians are leading over the Minnesota Twins, and then the Detroit Tigers, White Sox, Kansas City Royals. The West is led by or going to make the playoffs. The Houston Astros leading their division, which, as most of us know, they won the World Series last year. Also, they are 4.5 games ahead of Oakland, the Oakland Athletics, A's, as we all call them. Both of those teams make the playoffs, and then followed by Seattle, Los Angeles, the LA Angels, and then the Texas Rangers. So that kind of rounds out the MLB. Again, we don't talk much of any about the baseball, but, you know, playoffs are, you know, when October gets here, it becomes, you know, kind of baseball season for those of us that don't
watch
it.
If I watch a baseball game, that'll be when it is.
Yeah, playoffs.
Regular season. And that's one thing, because there is so many games, I just don't care much about it. Let me ask you this, Ronnie. Yeah. You're talking about so many games.
Yeah.
The basketball, the NBA, same way, basically. Football, once a week, but man, what a physical game that is.
Yeah.
If you could sign a contract to play any of the three sports,
baseball,
we're not going to put golf in it.
Okay, I was going to say, if you're throwing golf in,
basketball, baseball,
speaking
or
of
football,
golf,
Tiger Woods, a blind squirrel found an acorn every now and then.
Come on now.
Which one of the three do you think you would sign?
Football, baseball,
Yeah.
Oh, there's no question. Baseball.
Baseball?
Why, sure.
It would depend on position. If I could be a kicker or a punter, I would take the NFL.
Long snapper.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, now I agree with that.
If you're
less travel time.
Basketball would definitely be my last.
Oh, yeah. Running down the floor and playing 3 and 4 nights a week in a different city.
You've got to have just a freak body to even be able to withstand that.
Oh, man, I couldn't do that. But I agree with you. You kind of sparked my interest there if I could pick my position.
Yep.
You're right. Probably be NFL.
Boy, though, if you're a kicker, you could be another Daniel Carlson.
What about that? Speaking of,
I thought,
surely to goodness, somebody picks him up.
Oh, yeah, if they don't, they're missing a jewel. He is a rookie.
He was drafted.
Yeah.
And 99, I guess, I'll just throw it out this, I'm making it up, but 99% of your kickers in the NFL are not drafted.
Right.
That's how high
he missed two kicks in a game that cost him the game.
Missed a couple, two or three field goals and an extra point or something, and yeah, they cut him.
And it was straight on field goal. One was about a 35-yard field goal that would have won, and he missed it bad. But
I mean,
when he was
at Auburn, he could kick those with his left foot.
Yeah, he could kick it backward.
Unbelievable. I heard that he was cut.
But I don't understand cutting him loose after wasting a draft pick on him. And why not keep him around?
Come on.
The kid can kick.
Surely someone will pick him up.
I would be picking him up if I thought I was going to be in need of a kicker anytime soon.
Unbelievable. But, yeah, I heard that same thing.
And little brother having pretty much the same look at Auburn. He can't kick one through the other end of the stadium.
Exactly.
So far, so.
But got a good leg, but just, you know. And, you know, Alabama's
one more question for you. Don't look at my screen.
Sure. I can't see it anyway.
As you know, there is no longer an NCAA EA Sports football game for PlayStation or the Xbox.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if there was a NCAA football 2019, who would be on the cover?
A player or a coach?
Player.
Tua?
Every year they feature a player on the cover when the game is made.
Yeah.
If there was a 19, Tua would be your man on the cover.
Yeah.
And the picture would look like this if anybody wants to.
Cool.
See. Whoop. Well, there's where the Wilds win another game. Anyway, it's a picture of Tua on the cover of NCAA football.
Well, I'll be. Hey, Jason, you know, this is just an article that I saw. It's on ESPN, and the title of the article is Ranking the Conferences by their current college football playoff potential, you know, who may make it. Well, and you're going to know probably we're talking Power Five conferences, okay? What is the number one Power Five conference that they're saying that is potentially going to make the
SEC?
Certainly the SEC. The two top contenders there, Alabama and Georgia. The thing that struck me.
Struck you?
Struck me. The thing that. the thing that struck me the most was the fact that they said at this point now, after week four, that the SEC has a 49% chance to have two teams.
49%.
49% chance to have two teams back in the college. Now, again, we're talking 4 weeks out of the season.
How about this? Alabama is now minus 135 to be in the championship game. Minus 135 to be in the championship game.
You think a lot
That's
of people
insane.
Are already crowning them as national champion.
Yeah. But if I were going to bet it and I had to take Alabama or the field, I'd probably put my money on Alabama.
I don't think I could go. I mean, most years you would certainly take the field.
Oh, yeah.
But
no, it doesn't most years.
No. But again, we'll see how it all, you know, see how it all plays out.
And Tua's only one knee injury away from.
And let's give Jalen some credit in the time, you know, his playing time. And again, I'm right there with you. Their competition has been pretty suspect so far, but he has thrown the ball really, really well. That's not really what I want.
You know, he's still
better. He's much better.
Yeah, he's still got that habit of going to the right and running out of bounds. If
he just doesn't,
he don't pick up one or two receivers, and then it's over.
That's right. He doesn't pick it up. He doesn't see it as quick as Tua sees it, and he's never going to. You know, something that else talking about Jalen there that we're just throwing it out. You know, a few weeks ago we heard, you know, the rumor was that they'd worked out a deal there at Alabama, and, you know, as long as he didn't play in more than four games, he would be able to graduate December, transfer, and still have 2 years of eligibility. Well, I guess that was just a vicious rumor that's not going to be the case. So, whatever Jalen's plans are, whether it's stay, go, he's going to have a year of eligibility.
What do you
left.
Think he's thinking? I mean, is it his dad pushing that, or you think it's him? He's not going to be an NFL quarterback.
No, but I think just from what, you know, this past week, that's still his hope, as it is any college kid that plays.
He's such an athlete. Looks like to me he could change positions and possibly make it into the NFL at some other position.
Make a tight end out of him, H back, or you know, which is kind of close to the same thing.
Something.
But I just don't see how it's going to be. Even though he's much better, but it appears that he's going to be
a starter at most colleges.
He would still be a starter if Tua was somewhere else. Mm-hmm. He would still be the starter, and Tua wouldn't be at Alabama if Alabama was ahead last year 13-0 at halftime, he probably is not in the game. I mean, Tua's probably not in the game.
How confident do you have to be as being Tua to sign and go to Alabama, seeing what Jalen done his first year?
Won a national championship, got beat in the last second.
I'm going to follow up behind him.
Uh-huh.
He was pretty confident that he was going to go in there and get that position there. I don't think he would have.
I agree. Travel halfway around the world.
His family moved here.
Yeah, his younger brother plays at Thompson, I believe.
Hey, more power to him. I think I would have been signing on the dotted line somewhere else.
Well, you know, but seeing the kid play, you can kind of see why he was as confident as he is.
Yeah, and even though he's Alabama dressed in crimson.
Yeah.
I loved watching him play. I think he's a good kid. I wish him the best. Yeah. And I mean, if they were all like him, it'd be a much better game to watch.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, back to what we were talking about, ranking the conferences. Certainly number one is the SEC, and as I told Jason, they're predicting at this point in time, four weeks into the season, there's a 49% chance there could be two teams out of the conference in. Now, you have to know they're assuming that those two teams would be Alabama and Georgia. They're assuming probably both of them are going to go undefeated regular season, play one another in the SEC championship game. I mean, that's the only way you could do it.
I think that would be a good one, too.
I do, too. But now let's just – did you watch Georgia? Did you watch Georgia, Missouri?
No, I just seen the score, and then I was told that Georgia pretty much handed it – I mean, Missouri pretty much handed it to Georgia.
Yeah, I think they had four turnovers the first half. Georgia was none too impressive. But, Jason, just like you and I have said over and over and over again, You are not going to get those kids playing at their peak potential maybe 3 or 4 times max in a season. You, right. But what your hope is on those days that you're not playing your best, you don't, you know, you just don't have it that day, that you're still good enough to get a win. But you're just not going to get their best every single week. I mean, I don't care who, I don't care if it's college, high school, pros, it doesn't matter. You're not going to get that elite performance every single week or every single game out of them. It's just not going to happen. But the difference in the good teams and the great teams and the good team and the fair teams and the fair team and the poor teams is what do you do the week that you just, you're just not quite as good? Can you, are you still good enough to win? And that's what separates the best from
the men from the boys.
That's right. That's what separates the men from the boys. Okay. Number one conference is certainly the SEC. College football playoff. Number two, you got a
Big Ten.
You're exactly right. Top two contenders there, certainly Ohio State, Penn State.
They play this weekend.
I'm looking forward to that. I hope to get to watch that one. And all I, I'm with Chris. I'm going to say go Nittany Lions.
You know, Penn State, a hard team to figure out after that first game. Then they've come back and looked good.
Yeah, they did. But they almost gave up the ghost against Appalachian State.
Mm-hmm.
But they've
been
fine.
Do you know what the point spread was?
I do not.
I've seen it. In fact, I think for entertainment purposes only, I actually bet on it. But oh, here it is. Ohio State -3.5 as of right now. I think it was -4 this morning.
Wow. And what I'm reading right here, if Ohio State wins this Saturday, they've got a 77% chance of making it to the playoff.
Let's see who they have remaining after Penn State.
If Penn State wins, they have a 61% chance of making it to the playoff. This game right here may tell the tale.
Okay. Penn State, this is Ohio State schedule.
Okay.
Penn State this weekend followed by Indiana, Minnesota, Purdue, Nebraska, Michigan State, Maryland, and Michigan. Michigan about the only.
Can you classify Ohio State schedule as bad as Alabama?
Oh, yeah. And that's every year for Ohio State.
You're right. The Big Ten is awful.
Yep.
Awful. Nebraska hadn't won a game.
Oh,
the
man.
Savior,
yeah.
Scott Frost. He's got some. You know,
he got some frost.
You got, that's right. Hey,
who's three on the conference?
Number three.
ACC?
Big 12. The contender,
and
top contender there.
Got Clemson in the ACC, I
that's
guess.
That's right.
Huh?
Big. They might as well go ahead and make their reservation at the hotel.
Yeah.
But in the number three, the Big 12, certainly Oklahoma. That's really the only contender
who
there.
Who went into overtime with Army?
Absolutely. Because the and, you know, the other team, outside shot of West Virginia, but that ain't going to happen. The number four ranked out of the five, certainly it's just like Jason said, it's ACC, that is top contenders. Clemson, you know, everybody else is out. Miami, no chance.
How about this, Ronnie? Notre Dame. Here's Notre Dame. They've got to get by Stanford this week, but after Stanford, Virginia Tech, Pittsburgh, Navy, Northwestern, Florida State, Syracuse, and USC. If they beat Stanford,
they were on the table.
They've got it pretty much whipped.
Stanford's a pretty good football team, but you know, Stanford, they were very fortunate to win last week. I mean, they were down 21-7. At Oregon.
And you know they would love to have Notre Dame in that
playoff. Oh, my gosh, yeah. I'd love for Notre Dame to be in that playoff, too.
Notre Dame had beat Michigan 24-17, Ball State 24-16, Vandy 22-17, and Wake Forest 56-27. So not real impressive wins, but they're a win.
And then the rest of their schedule. So they if they run the table, they're going to be
in, yeah.
So which means one of your, which means one of your Power Five conferences, are well, be two of them, would be out.
Yeah, it'd be. I see.
Because they're independent.
Alabama, Notre Dame. I say Notre Dame makes Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State.
That's right.
Or Penn State, whoever wins.
Whoever wins that.
Yep.
And so then your your Big Ten is left out, and your Pac-12 is left out.
Well, this could be the year. If Notre Dame can hold that together, this could be the year that upsets the apple cart.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But,
you know, it always works out in the end.
You know, you're exactly right. Because, you know, everybody was talking about, you know, Washington. If Washington had beaten Auburn, they were going to cakewalk in. Yep. Well, they can't cakewalk in if Notre Dame go. If they had won that game, they couldn't cakewalk in. Notre Dame couldn't cakewalk in. And then Alabama, I mean, and throw another wrench into it. They just, the thought right now is there's 49% chance of getting two SEC schools in. Well, let's say that plays out. Alabama and Georgia get in. Clemson gets in. If Notre Dame goes undefeated, and Ohio State, wait a minute, but Ohio State gets undefeated, they go undefeated.
That won't happen. One of the SEC teams.
That's right. It could be.
Yeah.
If you got a Notre Dame and an Ohio State undefeated, both of them are going in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that leaves Clemson and Alabama. There's no way the SEC will get two.
The Alabama Georgia loser will be staying at home.
That's right.
If Notre Dame makes it.
But Notre Dame, you know, through the years, they give up the ghost.
Against
somebody. You know, somebody gets them. And it'll be all for naught. If Stanford gets them, it's going to be, it's all for naught anyway. But those are the listing, or those are the order of the conferences that at this point in time have the best chance to get somebody in. Again, quickly, number one's SEC, number two's Big Ten, number three's Big 12, four ACC, and then rounding it out as it has been for the last several years is the Pac-12 out west.
Right, looking at the Huskies, Washington Huskies schedule, Ryan, I don't think they're going to be there. I don't see them winning out.
You don't see them winning out?
I think they could actually get beat this coming weekend. BYU, UCLA is a gimme. Oregon could beat them.
Oregon.
Colorado's decent. They got to play Cal at Cal, and then followed by Stanford, and then Oregon State, and who knows about Washington State,
right,
depending on what kind of mood they're in.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, I agree. I don't see that happening for Washington.
They'll drop at least one more.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, that looks like a good loss to Auburn if there is such a good thing as a good loss.
That's right.
But who knows? Auburn may not be the cake decorator everybody thought.
No. And you know, if we just take the SEC teams, you know, I mean, how do we really rank the SEC? Are we a pretty good conference? Are we not a pretty good conference? You know, if we look at the West, you got Alabama, who's a good football team. You got LSU, that's a lot of question marks. You got Auburn, a lot of question marks.
I think the SEC is as good as anybody, but it is so top heavy.
Yeah.
The SEC is probably above everybody with our top teams on each side, and then probably average or below average for our downs.
I mean, look at the blows. I mean, it's pretty bad. Ole Miss, offensively, they're good, but they're the worst defensive team I've seen. Vandy?
I believe you could score on Ole Miss.
Vandy, not very good. South Carolina torched them last week, and South Carolina's no world beater. I mean, you know, they may be, you know, an 8-win season.
Tennessee is terrible.
Tennessee is terrible.
Which is going to play right into my hand. I think we can go back and find it. When they made the hire, I hated it the entire time. He fell for me to death just because he hired him.
You don't think Jeremy Pruitt was the right hire?
No, I think Tennessee could do better than that.
Who out there?
What has Pruitt ever done? Tennessee is one of them schools, if they'll get the money right, can get pretty much, I mean, not talking about Saban or Urban Meyer, but can get pretty much whoever they want.
They got who they wanted.
I know, that's what's so crazy.
they wanted.
Well, no, they didn't. They remember they went through the thing with the assistant at Ohio State.
Yeah.
And then somebody else turned them down.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of a fiasco. But can you go wrong by hiring an assistant that's been with Saban for a few years?
Oh, yeah.
How?
Yeah, I think he went wrong with that? There.
none of them have been able to defeat him yet. So.
No, that's true. No, none of his former Pistons. He is. They are 0-13 against him.
There is one coaching in the SEC that's beat Saban. Saban against Gus is 3-2. He is the only coach.
I know which coach that is.
Yeah. I give you that. But I
got him a really fat contract renewal too.
Yeah. He is probably the most overpaid coach in the SEC.
Now that Kevin Sumlin is gone.
Oh gosh.
Who was your all-time favorite? His $5 million man.
You see what's going on in Arizona?
Yeah, he's getting spanked out there too. You know, he took spankings in Texas, and now he's just moving on out west and taking another handful of them.
Yep.
But I'm like this. But Jason, if you're not able to go out and hire you already a proven head coach, and apparently Tennessee couldn't do that, then why, if you're going to have to hire an assistant, if you're going to hire somebody's assistant, why in heaven's name would you not give serious consideration to guys that work for Saban?
Oh, I don't have no problem with giving them consideration, but the hiring them where I've got the problem.
Well, if you're going to consider them, you've got to consider hiring them. If you consider somebody for a job.
Now, I'm saying
if you can't get a proven head coach and you've got to go the assistant route, what other team would you do?
There had to be a proven head coach somewhere that Tennessee could get. Had to be.
Well, they didn't.
I know that they went after Pruitt. Everybody, just because you bumped into Saban or held hands with Saban at some point, don't mean you're going to be Saban as a coach.
Coaches
like Saban are once in a lifetime.
What?
And there's not going to be a...
How's it working out for Georgia?
Great. And that was my hire I wanted at Auburn. Thank you. I screamed it from the start. Yeah.
I mean, how's that's working out pretty dang good for Georgia.
As I understand, he would have took that job at Auburn if Auburn something, what was it? They wanted to interview somebody else, and he wanted an answer now, and if he didn't get an answer then, I reckon he was told to move on, or he told them to move on.
Yeah. Well, but here's the thing about it. He'd been short-lived at Auburn because as many he could go to Georgia, he'd have gone. Oh, come on.
You think if they were paying Gus $7 million a year, they wouldn't have anted up to keep him?
What do you think Georgia would have paid to get him?
Auburn would have matched it.
I don't mean he'd
stay. He might have been $100
million. He's a Georgia boy.
All right, we got to go to the break 4:20 and make some money so Jay can hire a coach.
That's right.
We'll be right back. 727-9505.
He can hire an official. Hey, we got Rex joining us around 4:30.
Live 95, Cullman's independent radio, is proud to present yet another local community program for Cullman. Join us immediately following Sports Talk Live on Thursdays for a brand new show that will help our listeners focus on lifestyle health, including working towards a goal of reaching your optimal weight and creating an optimal health environment for the rest of your life. Join host Sandy Seibert each and every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. for Path Changers, Habits of Health. Immediately following Sports Talk Live, right here on the station that is all about Cullman, by Cullman, for Cullman. Live 95.5 FM, Cullman's independent radio. Gateway Mortgage is proud to support Cullman County High School football. After all, supporting your community and giving back is what it's all about. Gateway Mortgage is a big lender with the ability to service your loan, but they're all about community and personal service. Josh Phillips, branch manager, says because of their Christian values, you can expect a culture that's different from banks and even other lenders. Those are the kind of characteristics you want from a personal mortgage team working to get you into a new home or your next home. You can reach Josh Phillips, Cameron Kimbrough, or Zeb Smith at Gateway Mortgage, 256-690-5617. 256-690-5617.
866-690-5617. Gateway Mortgage. NMLS number 338-177. Equal housing lender.
Hey, Coleman, it's almost October, and that means it's time for Coleman's Oktoberfest. Come check it out Monday, October the 1st, through Saturday, October the 6th, and come celebrate our German heritage. Activities for the whole family are taking place right in the middle of downtown Coleman at the Coleman Fest Hall Marketplatz. From Monday through Wednesday, enjoy German music each morning by Wolfgang Moritz. Starting Tuesday at lunch, 30-day catering will be serving up a German meal starting at about 10:30. And as the week progresses, enjoy music by Terry Kavanaugh and the Alpine Express. The car show, arts and crafts, kids areas, 5K and 10K runs, German food, music, dancing, the pickle eating contest, and the stein hoisting contests. And hey, even on select days, your very own Live 95 will be on site broadcasting live. Come by and see us. To get more information on the events taking place downtown, visit Facebook.com, the Coleman Oktoberfest page there, or visit ColemanOktoberfest.com for the complete schedule. Coleman Oktoberfest, a Coleman tradition.
This is Dylan Deamer, the voice of Friday Night Live, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday night for my new show, Prep Sports Live. Each Tuesday, tune in for a wrap-up of all last week's action, preview of the upcoming week, as well as a breakdown of the latest sports news from around Coleman County, as well as interviews. And tune in to hear the announcement of our game of the week. Join us every Tuesday from 5 to 6 on Coleman's Live 95. We are Coleman's independent radio.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
All right, 425 or 525, depending on the day you are listening.
if that confuses you, I can understand why.
Yeah, Rex Chambers coming up soon. Before he does, Ronnie, I got a question. I warned you about it. I didn't tell you the question.
No, you didn't.
I
don't want
to
ask you
this.
All right.
Or to any other Alabama fans. And Rex, if you're listening, I want your opinion when you call in. Who needs who worse? Does Nick Saban need the University of Alabama, or does the University of Alabama need Nick Saban? Who does better without the other, in other words?
Oh, Saban does better.
I don't think so. I think University of Alabama does better. I told you we'd differ.
Hey, Alabama you is can, better off without Nick
Saban. No, I'm not saying they're better off without him.
I think Rex probably has an opinion.
I think.
Hey, Rex, listen to this. Do you think Nick Saban would do better without Alabama, or Alabama would do better without Nick Saban? See what I'm saying? I'm thinking Alabama is this
Saban,
college.
Not Alabama.
Saban without Alabama?
Yep.
I'm opposite. I think Alabama without Saban.
Hey, Rex, you got any? Do you still have any influence with the police department? Because somebody needs to come up here. He does not need to be driving.
Let me explain, and then I'll let y'all fish.
We need a commitment order.
Think about it, guys. How many national championships did Alabama win before Nick Saban got there?
Well, I don't know. 10?
A bunch.
Yeah.
But
you can't take Nick Saban and put him anywhere and get the kind of results he's getting at Alabama.
It depends on if you're discussing five or 10 years or 50 years, Jason.
No, look back up. You put Nick Saban at Texas, in 5 years they get a national championship.
Probably.
I agree.
Put Nick Saban at Michigan, 2 years they get a national championship.
And put Nick Saban at Tennessee.
As powerful as Alabama.
Put Saban at Tennessee.
He comes into Alabama, probably Dabo.
Yeah, and Dabo does the same thing.
I agree.
They're going to still be strong, but they're not going to be Saban strong.
Oh, no.
No. Here, let me throw this one out. I like the point. Put Nick Saban and give him 5-8 years, whatever. Put him anywhere. I know how y'all going to take this. put him anywhere you want to in the SEC and give him 5, 8 years, whatever it takes, would he get any team, not win a national championship, would he get any SEC team into the 4-team playoff?
No.
Oh, absolutely. Anything.
No. There is no way in
hell.
That's
a no-brainer.
I know it's a no-brainer. He can't do it. You trying to tell me that Nick Saban can take Vandy and put him in the playoffs?
Give him 8 years, yeah, absolutely.
There is no way in hell.
Now, let me back up. Vandy may be the only school that couldn't do it just because, unless they change their ways, just because of their GPA, their grade points.
Okay.
All right,
throw Vandy out. Throw him out. Other team.
Anybody but Vandy.
I don't think Missouri could do it.
Oh, my God!
I don't think Ole Miss could do it.
And Missouri did it without him almost.
Yeah. I mean, they won the SEC.
When?
Their first year.
They played for it.
They played for it. I'm with Rex. I think he does.
Of course, you know, Missouri would be tougher than Auburn or Florida or
sure.
even Tennessee. Hey, I'd give anything saving Tennessee for a few years.
Boy, Tennessee's got problems.
Oh, man.
They do, but they've always had the draw. They've always had the talent. They always had the fan base. You put Nick Saban there 3 years, and in the fourth year, they play for national championship.
Coming up next, Nick Saban walks on water.
as an Auburn fan, I'm telling you, he's the greatest coach to ever take a breath.
I agree. He is the best college coach.
You know, everybody screamed Bear Bryant or all they want to. Bear Bryant was a great coach.
But be fair, Rex.
Different time.
Be right.
Different era.
You can't really compare it because it's apples and oranges.
It don't matter if it's 60 years ago. Saban be doing the same thing he's doing now.
I think if you put Saban back in Bear's time,
he wouldn't be that close. No.
Today.
Well, they had more scholarships.
And I don't think he would have
been. There were more scholarships when Bear was there, so he would get he'd get everybody. He's already getting what he wants.
All the other teams have to forfeit.
Let's go fishing. But I really would wish he'd try it.
Oh, I do too.
Oh, man. But I'm with you. I think give him enough time, throw out Vandy if you want to. I think he's in a playoff before his time with his contract
would
be
up. Here's the thing: you got to give him enough time, and you got to give him money to surround himself with the people he wants.
That's exactly right.
That would be the issue at service.
Yeah, the money would be big because you got to get the right players to get him there. But now Nick Saban don't do that.
He ain't buying no players.
No.
That we know of.
He's not, but people are taking care of it for him.
Well, like everybody else.
Alabama fans right now having to take a blood pressure pill because I said that.
Hey, Rex, I want to ask you this. Jason, he's been kind of piling on. He thought that Tennessee's hire of Jeremy Pruitt was a terrible hire. What's your opinion on that?
I don't think Jeremy Pruitt's a head coach. But thank you. Give him time. Not every assistant coach is a head coach. I'm sorry.
I agree.
Some people make great assistants. I mean, look at the NFL, especially. You know, they get all these offense coordinators and give them a head coaching job, and 9 out of 10 flop on their face.
I agree.
Jerry Pruitt was a great, what was he, offense coordinator?
Defensive coordinator.
Defense coordinator.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was great, but head coach, time will tell.
Give
him his players in there.
I agree. Time will tell. Like I was telling Jason, I agree with him. Jason, from the standpoint of you want to try, Tennessee should have maybe tried to hire a proven head coach. And I said, well, apparently they couldn't get one. So, you know, if you're going to go an assistant route, why would you not look at the Saban tree? Be your first look.
Correct, and that's where all of them, they keep picking that low hanging fruit from there, and he keeps replacing them with gold. So
right.
Who knows?
Tennessee has played 4 games, 2 real football teams, 2 UTEP and East Tennessee. Mm-hmm. The real schools he played, he lost 40-14 to West Virginia. Lost to an average Florida team, 47-21.
Yeah, turned it over about 4 times first half. But look
how bad they stumped before he got there, though.
Yeah.
It wasn't any worse than it is now.
Well, he hadn't been there.
But he's still playing with those coaches' players. I mean, You give him 3 years, I think he'll turn it around. Is ever going to be Saban asked? No, but you know, in 3 years, if he's still going 4-8,
he's gone.
He'll come back.
I'll bet you a lunch.
That's right.
Either one of you a lunch.
I'll take it.
He don't win over 8 games any time he's at Tennessee. 8 games.
I was thinking eight would be good.
That would be his max.
You would have to win that because that's a bet you can't lose. Because if he don't win 8, he's gone.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I'd back it up.
No, it's Tennessee. Tennessee ain't the old Rocky Top of old.
No, that's right. Just like apparently Nebraska is not the old Cornhuskers of old either.
That's right. You know, neither is Virginia Tech. Ain't the Hokies of old.
Absolutely. What about Old Dominion? First Power Five win.
That was the greatest touchdown celebration I've ever seen.
Oh my gosh!
That was awesome.
Oh, a 29-point dog, and they beat Virginia Tech. Unbelievable. Never beat a Power Five team before. Oh, hey Rex, let me ask you this before we talk about some fishing. Give me, and I may be stealing this from Jason. Give me your opinion of, I didn't get to see it, of the Auburn game. Jason was not impressed at all with Auburn this past week.
Listen, here's the deal. Everybody knows I'm not a Gus fan, but that's Gus's system.
Yeah,
and let me tell you the problem with Auburn. Auburn does not have a quarterback that fits that system. They have a great quarterback. If he was at any other school that didn't run Gus's system, he's right up there among the top three or four in the country. But with that read option that Auburn runs, he sees an end crashing. And he gives it to the back. It's already got two tackles on him.
Yeah, because he can't. He doesn't
because
have the wheels.
He's not a runner.
No,
his fault. He's not a running quarterback. Although he's trying to be here lately, but he's not. And that is Auburn's number one problem.
Uh-huh.
Is they do not have a quarterback that fits that scheme.
That's right.
Although they had a great quarterback.
And my question is this: two things. Why do you recruit him? I understand he's got a great arm. But he doesn't fit your system, and then for him, why does he go there?
I'm with you on that. That's a simple final question. I have no idea, because if he was in a different system, you know, like he come from, you know, if he was in a Baylor system,
right?
I mean,
exactly,
he's the top three quarterback in the country because he's got a cannon for an arm.
He does.
But when you're in that, you know, RPO system, it don't fit him.
What about this? Before the season, now not now, since he's flooded the dirt this year, but preseason, he was projected to possibly be the number one quarterback taken in the next draft.
And he still might be. Not number one, probably number two or number three.
Yeah, he'll be the top.
Even though he's in that system, they realize how good he is.
Yeah, he's got an arm. But he would draw and run through a car wash.
He's going to kill it. He's going to kill it at the combine. His numbers are going to be off the board combine-wise, so he's going to go high in the draft.
Right.
But he's simply in the wrong schematic, the wrong scheme for his talent.
Yeah, and he's going to struggle all year because of it.
Oh, yes, and they are. I mean, we're going to lose the game, and it's because of that.
Absolutely.
And what gets me is why don't they change that? I mean, I know it's Gus's system, but hey, change it a little bit for your quarterback.
Throw
some more deep balls.
Isn't that what coaching is? Is you adapt to what you have?
Well, no, I think coaching is you recruit to what you do, and they recruited outside the box.
Well, and I agree with that. But I agree with you, Rex. If we drop it down a level and we move down to high school, because we can't, we can't recruit. We just take what we got. But we just take whatever our strengths are, if we have any, and we play to those strengths. And I don't know what I don't understand why Gus doesn't play to his strength.
He's too hard headed. Here's a question for both of them.
He is a hard headed.
He is.
Coach.
I agree.
Rex, going back to something you said, let me ask you and Ronnie something, and then I'm going to get out of it and let y'all go fishing. You were talking about throwing the deep ball, and that has definitely been opposite. Where, if you haven't already heard this, where do y'all think Auburn ranks in big plays this year in the SEC?
This isn't what you went over a while ago.
No, this is
okay. Deep plays?
Yeah, let's say it was over 30 yards.
Last or last?
Plays over 30 yards.
At least next to last, if not last.
They are tied for last.
Yeah.
They are tied for 13th. I think they've had four plays to go for over 30 yards this year.
You know, they rely on that wide receiver screen, that little read option. It's a juvenile offense that is, for some reason, very, very complicated.
And you need a Nick Marshall or a Cam Newton.
I got Schwartz. I got Schwartz on the outside. I'm throwing him six bombs a night.
Yeah, yeah.
Because nobody in the SEC can keep up with him running full speed.
Yeah, I agree. He's world class.
Put it on him.
Yeah.
So my observation, they had to be at least 30 points ahead before Gus would let him throw long balls. I mean, he didn't throw.
Well, that's pretty much.
That's what happened. I mean.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the case. He what, took two, maybe three in Arkansas, and it was already blowout.
I just think.
Thanks to special teams.
Yeah. I think they've got exposed. I think they've got some real problems. I'm not saying they can't get them fixed. But, you know, their bread and butter, as we've all said, is their ability to run the football. You know, getting 200, 200.
Every coach is learning. All you got to do is stack the box and shut it down.
That's exactly right.
Without a honcho running back, which Auburn does not have.
That's, Jason just mentioned that too. He said, I can't even name. I don't even know a name, you know, of who's currently Boobie. Running back.
Boobie's a runner. A little freshman is good, but he's little. He's going to be a scat back, and he's all heart, but he's not a bruiser. You got to have a bruiser. Even Kerryon Johnson last year wasn't the back that's needed in that offense. You know, the back that's needed in that offense is.
Well, that's where you located. We're going to have the police department pick you up now.
But I understand what Rex is saying. I mean, because they have had the big, powerful bruiser.
But that type of offense needs a bruiser. Now you need a speedster too for certain plays. But that type of offense needs a bigger back than what Kerryon was. I mean, you know, Kerryon was great when he was healthy.
They nearly killed him.
If he was 15 pounds heavier and 2 inches taller, like I said, a TJ Yeldon type of back works in that scheme better than a little B scat back does.
But my question is this, and I'm not throwing off on Auburn at all. If that's your system and you've been coaching for most of your life, how do you not have those type of players in your system? How do you not have those type of players in the uniforms playing on Saturday? I don't get that this is his system. He's designed it, and you can look out there and nothing fit.
Gus said he turned off.
That's my previous statement on why I'm not a Gus fan.
I got you. Well, Jason said, like Gus said, he turned the offense over.
He don't have anything to do with it anymore. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Do you believe that? I got some land
I got you. Hey, Rex, let me ask you this. We'll change subject here for a minute. We can always come back to some football. But Alabama Bass Trail, what's going on with that right now? Didn't we just have a tournament recently over at Pitwick?
Yeah, that was this past Saturday. Okay. That's the end of the regular season, and championships in, I think, 4 weeks on Neely Henry.
Oh, Neely Henry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, some local boys showed out on Pitwick. Craig Daniel and Jackie Flack took on first place.
Okay.
They won the $10,000 first place prize, $7,000 bonus, and a couple more grand and some more bonuses.
Wow.
Through some sponsorship stuff. So they had a good day.
Absolutely.
Wesley Sams and Jordan Wiggins, I think they ended up third. And I think I ended up at a whopping 106 or something like that.
One of those days, huh?
Yeah, it was tough on me.
I got you. What's going on around here locally? I know this time of year, as you told us before, is a tough time on Smith being this time of the year. Is that the case right now, or is it a little better after the summer?
Yeah, the water's still too hot. I mean, the water's still 86, 88 degrees during the day.
So, right.
The fishing hasn't picked up. With some cool nights we got coming, yeah, it's going to get better. It's going to get better really quick.
Right.
What people do need to know is the third annual Angling for Autism event is coming on Smith Lake. that is going to be, kind of pull it up here, I forgot my date.
And in
October 20th.
Is that one that you kind of have a big part in, Rex?
Well, I help them advertise. Wesley Sams and his dad, Roger Sams,
right,
started this. And you know, you see a lot of charity tournaments that raise money for foundations that always go to these national entities. Well, this one stays here locally. Wesley
right.
and Roger got up and raised a bunch of money for our first tournament. And all the money, all the proceeds go directly to Coleman's autism chapters.
Oh, fantastic.
So, I mean, they gave, you know, I think the county budgets them so much money, you know, through the year. But I think, like first year, one of them has a yearly budget of $5,000, and I think we gave them 10.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's hard to beat.
Absolutely. And the dates again of that, Rex?
October the 20th at Smith Lake Dam. You can find the flyer. I think I put a flyer up that on my Facebook page at Rex Chambers Fishing. Okay. Enter that way. And if people can't fish and they want to make a donation, shoot me a message and we'll get it handled.
I got you. In the years past, about how many people, how many boats have you had participating?
I want to say we pushed 150 or maybe even close to 200 last year. It's the second or third biggest tournament of the year.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, lots of people show up for it.
Yeah.
And it's only like $120 entry fee. $150 entry fee.
Okay.
And it pays a $10,000 payout. First place is $5,000.
Wow. And then still plenty, you know, a good bit of money to donate to the charity, to autism.
Oh, yeah.
Which
it
is...
It pays through 10th place.
Right.
So I think 5th place gets $500, 2nd place gets $2,500, 10th place gets their money back.
Right.
And then the rest of everything goes toward the autism and special needs of Coleman.
Yeah. And that is such a, you know, unless you... You know, you are directly affected by that, or you know someone who's affected by that. You know, maybe you don't think about it, you know, very often, but there are so many families today that are, you know, that have autistic children, and it's a challenge, and I know several that do.
It is. I got my little nephew next door autistic, and that's why Wesley asked me to.
Right.
Help when I could, so it's I enjoy it. They bring, there's lots of special needs kids that show up there at the tournament. They do bouncy houses.
Yeah.
And it's a family fun day also. While everybody's out fishing there at the dam, they can, all the kids will be there having fun.
Fantastic. Hey, Rex, do you know what's going on maybe around the Gunnersville area right now?
Nothing major. I mean, fishing's actually really, really good on Gunnersville for it to be this early in the fall.
Okay.
Lots of frog bites are happening, flipping bites on. I haven't been. I'm just going by what my buddy told me that went over there, because I've been up on Pitwick last week or so. But it's turning on. It's going to be a good fall and early winter bite.
Good.
That's for sure.
Great. Hey, let me ask you a couple other things. You know, with the hurricane that came in over, you know, in the Carolinas, did that affect the water flow that comes down eventually into the, you know, the Tennessee River and there to Lake Gunnersville?
Yeah, they've been pulling a lot of water through Pitwick, Wilson, and Wheeler.
Okay.
But it ain't been major. You know, by the time it gets here, it's practically gone.
Right.
But they did up it for this time of year. There's a little more. It's more than average in what's been usually this time of year as far as water flow goes.
Right. Okay. I need a little bit of information here. Stripe fishing at Smith. Best time of the year for stripe fishing.
Usually, normal years, the first week of April all the way through May.
Okay. Springtime.
That's number one.
Okay.
Number two is right now.
Number two is right now.
Number two is right now. We have the ABT Open, which has been 2 or 3 weeks ago now. We wasted half a day playing with stripe.
Oh, okay.
On hot water.
Okay.
I mean, acres and acres and acres of schooling stripers.
Okay.
And it was out of client with me, so we just decided to have fun while we fished that tournament.
Okay.
And we sat there and caught all we wanted on top water. So, yeah, right now is a good time. The first two and a half hours of the morning is a good time to go catch my top.
Okay.
Top.
All right. I've got a relative of mine that wants to come down and do some stripe fishing, and I'm, you know, I don't have a clue, you know, about that. So I thought, hey, I want to ask Rex, you know, the best.
Hey, just hire Rex.
Hire Rex. I don't
there
know.
There you go.
I don't. Do you do stripe fishing trips, Rex?
When it's like it is right now, I mean, I don't guarantee we're going to catch them.
Yeah.
Because we got to find them on top water, but, you know, because I don't live bait fish.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, 90, well, all your stripe guys live bait fish. And, but no, if I can find them and stay on them for a week or two, sure, you know, I do some stripe only trips.
Right.
But I only do three or four of them a year. Like I said, it's when I'm on them, I kind of advertise it. And,
I got you.
And, like I said, that right now, I'd have to go take a day and find them. But once you find them, they're staying in the same place.
Okay. Well, I may holler at you, and if it works out, you know, for you, that'd be great. And maybe you can, if not, you can put me on somebody for them.
Well, so, you can do it.
Great deal. All right, Rex. All right, man. Hey, I appreciate it, Rex. Thanks for giving us a buzz. I know you got stuff you need to do, even though it's not Thursday. I'm sure you got other things you need to be doing. So thanks for joining us, bud.
Yeah, thanks, Rex.
Y'all have a good one.
All right. All right, there's our old fishing buddy, Mr. Rex Chambers, talking a little fishing and a little football. And
Or maybe it is Thursday.
It is Thursday. That's exactly right. So big thanks to Rex there for joining us there every Thursday. So, hey, it is 4:48 here on a Tuesday or Thursday.
Or 5:48.
Or 5:48. That's exactly right. Or 5:48 on a Thursday. So stay with us. We're going to have our picks coming up. So I know that's vitally important to
gotta
everybody.
Have it. Gotta have it.
A couple days early, so that gives you a little bit more time. Stay with us. 95.5.
Happy Homes Real Estate is proud to sponsor Friday Night Live on Live 95. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you today. After all, they're the top producing agency in Cullman. And I bet if you ride around town this weekend, you'll see open house signs all over Cullman for Happy Homes Real Estate. For property management, buying, or selling a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you. Happy Homes Real Estate, where they believe every home should be a happy home. Gateway Mortgage is proud to support Cullman County High School football. After all, supporting your community and giving back is what it's all about. Gateway Mortgage is a big lender with the ability to service your loan, but they're all about community and personal service. Josh Phillips, branch manager, says because of their Christian values, you can expect a culture that's different from banks and even other lenders. Those are the kind of characteristics you want from a personal mortgage team working to get you into a new home or your next home. You can reach Josh Phillips, Cameron Kimbrough, or Zeb Smith at Gateway Mortgage, 256-690-5617, 256-690-5617. Gateway Mortgage, in MLS number 338177, Equal Housing Lender.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
Hey, guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof. We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Cullman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Cullman area and most Cullman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
Thank you.
This is Dylan Deamer, the voice of Friday Night Live, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday night for my new show, Prep Sports Live. Each Tuesday, tune in for a wrap-up of all last week's action, a preview of the upcoming week, as well as a breakdown of the latest sports news from around Coleman County, as well as interviews. And tune in to hear the announcement of our Game of the Week. Join us every Tuesday from 5 to 6 on Coleman's Live 95. We are Coleman's Independent Radio.
$4.53, $5.53, take your choice.
Tuesday or Thursday.
That's right. If it's Thursday, it's $5.53. If it's Tuesday, it's $4.53.
That's right.
And if it's Friday, who cares what time it is?
That's right.
All right,
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
Right. 5 o'clock.
Do you want to put out the public service announcement before we do this?
Yes. As we do each week, public service announcement here, keeping everybody safe. We are about to do our college and high school picks. So pens and papers, you know, get those ready. Pull off on the side of the road. Better yet, find a parking lot somewhere that you can pull over.
Be
put
safe.
Your car in park. Be safe. Whatever you do, be safe as we make our picks because we know you're interested in them. So there's the public service announcement.
Thank you, Ronnie.
No problem.
All right, why don't you kick us off or tip us off, as you said.
Tip us off. There you go, baby.
With a little high school action.
All right, Jason, here are the teams or the games for this coming Friday night. Several teams have an open date, so we don't have as many games. But here we go. Jason, I want the winner and a score, okay?
All righty.
Coleman at Hueytown.
Coleman at Hueytown. I know nothing about Hueytown. You know anything about them?
No, this is Birmingham.
Or anything? I'm going to go Hueytown wins it 20-17.
All right, 20-17 Hueytown, just to be different.
You see, I'm glad that you called it that close because I do believe that's going to be our game of the week.
Okay.
All right. I've done you a favor.
There you go. And since I'm going the opposite, I'm going to say Coleman defeats Hueytown. I think it's going to be also close. I'm saying it's going to be 14-13. All right, Cold Springs at Appalachian.
Cold Springs at Appalachian. I know nothing about Appalachian or whatever the name is. But I do know Cold Springs got a mat on.
Yeah.
And they're going to win this one 34-8.
34-8. Jason's taking Cold Springs. I'm also going to take Cold Springs to win. I think it'll be a little closer than that. 24-13. Vimont versus Addison.
What is Addison doing this year?
Pretty good.
All right, I'm going to say Addison wins this one 30-18. I'm getting some odd scores.
Yes, you are. Okay, Jason's taking Addison. Last year, Vimont defeated Addison. I think they continue that streak this year. So I'm taking Vimont over Addison. I think it's a low-scoring game. I'm thinking it's... What do I want to say?
This score will be continued next week.
That's right. 9-7. What about that?
That'll be work. I hope Vimont wins.
I do, too. Holly Pond at home against Danville.
Holly Pond at home against Danville.
Yeah.
What's Danville doing this year?
Not very much.
Holly Pond wins this one
27-23. Jason has Holly Pond. I also have Holly Pond winning. I think it won't be that close. I think it's going to be 35-6. And then last high school games, Hanceville at home against Curry.
Curry wins this one 32-6.
I'm also, I hate to, but I'm going to go with Curry. I think they win it 28-7.
All right.
That's high school picks.
Let's move on to a little college action. All and, right. Ronnie, we're going to do this one a little different today.
Okay.
We're going to pick against the spread because some of the games... Or actually, most of the games are a high point spread this
week. All right.
We've got a few close ones, but anyway.
Not a good week for college football.
Right. Start out on Thursday night. Let's go North Carolina at Miami. Miami, an 18-point favorite.
Miami's an 18-point favorite. I know North Carolina.
You don't have to give us a score. Just give us a pick since we're going to get to.
I'm taking Miami. I think they cover.
All right. And I'm going to go with the Tar Heels.
Okay.
Not to win it, but just to cover the points.
You're right.
All right. Syracuse at Clemson. Clemson, a 24-point favorite. Syracuse, the team that knocked Clemson off the
throne. So. And matter of fact, Syracuse right now is undefeated. I'm taking Syracuse. I don't think Clemson will cover the spread.
And I'm right there with you. 24 points is a lot of points. Arkansas at Texas A&M. Texas A&M, a 20.5 point favorite.
I'm taking Texas A&M because Arkansas is all full.
They cover.
Texas A&M covers.
Yeah. And I'm going to go same way, I think.
Okay.
All right. Tennessee at Georgia. Now get a hold of this one.
Okay.
Georgia, a 31.5 point favorite.
Oh, my gosh.
That tells you how things are in Tennessee.
I just can't take Georgia. I'm just taking Tennessee. That 31 points, SEC game, same division. No.
And I'm going to agree with you again. Okay. Tennessee don't win it, but I think they can be closer than 31.
Surely to heavens.
Here's an interesting game to me. Florida State -6.5 at Louisville.
Florida State is favored by 6.5?
Yep.
Florida State shouldn't be favored by 6.5 against Jacksonville. I'm taking Louisville.
All right. And I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to pick them outright.
There you go.
Win it. And in fact, for entertainment purposes, I may get that one, just the money line.
I hear you.
Ole Miss at LSU. LSU a 12-point favorite.
I'll take LSU.
All right. And I'm going to say LSU also.
You're going, okay. Going that way too.
Ohio State -4 at Penn State.
I'm taking Penn State.
And I'm going Ohio State.
Okay.
Two more. Florida at Mississippi State. Mississippi State 7.5 point favorite.
I'm taking Florida.
And I'm going with you. Florida Gators. I think they win this one out.
I was thinking the same thing.
Stanford at Notre Dame. Notre Dame a 5.5 point favorite.
I'll take Notre Dame. I think they cover.
And I'm going to agree with you again.
All right.
And we're not even going to pick Alabama and Auburn. We know what's going to happen there.
And if it doesn't, we're not coming back.
That's right. All right, folks. It's time to call it quits. We'll see you next week. Hope your team wins. But above all, stay safe. Have a great weekend. And until next week, a big War Eagle.
And a great big old Roll Tide.
Thanks for joining us, Sports Talk Live 95.5. Have yourself a good one.